It appears to me that wherever you have private property, and all men measure all things by cash values, there it is scarcely possible for a commonwealth to have justice or prosperity, unless you think justice exists where all the best things flow into the hands of the worst citizens, or prosperity prevails where all is divided among very few, and even they are not altogether well off, while the rest are downright wretched. As a result, when in my heart I ponder on the extremely wise and holy institutions of the Utopians, among whom, with very few laws, affairs are ordered so aptly that virtue has its reward, and yet, with equality of distribution, all men have abundance of all things, and then, when I contrast with their policies, the many nations elsewhere, ever making ordinances, and yet never one of them achieving good order, nations where whatever a man has acquired, he calls his own private property. But where all these laws, daily framed, are not enough for a man to secure or to defend, or even to distinguish from someone else's the goods which each in turn calls his own, a predicament readily attested by the numberless and ever new and interminable lawsuits, when I consider, I repeat all these facts, I become more partial to Plato, and less surprised at his refusal to make laws for those who rejected that legislation which gave to all an equal share in all goods. This wise sage, to be sure, easily foresaw that the one and only road to the general welfare lies in the maintenance of equality in all respects. I have my doubts that the latter could ever be preserved where the individual's possessions are his private property. When every man aims at absolute ownership of all the property he can get, be there never so great abundance of goods, it is all shared by a handful who leave the rest in poverty. It generally happens that the one class preeminently deserves the lot of the other, for the rich are greedy, unscrupulous, and useless, while the poor are well-behaved, simple, and by their daily industry more beneficial to the commonwealth than to themselves. I am fully persuaded that no just and even distribution of goods can be made, and that no happiness can be found in human affairs, unless private property is utterly abolished. While it lasts, there will always remain a heavy and inescapable burden of poverty and misfortunes, for by far the greatest and by far the best part of mankind. I admit that this burden can be lightened to some extent, but I contend that it cannot be removed entirely. A statute might be made that no person should hold more than a certain amount of land, and that no person should have a monetary income beyond that permitted by law. Special legislation might be passed to prevent the monarch from being overmighty and the people overweening. Likewise, that public officers should not be solicited with gifts, nor be put up for sale, nor require lavish personal expenditures. Otherwise there arise, first, the temptation to recoup one's expenses by acts of fraud and plunder, and secondly, the necessity of appointing rich men to offices which ought rather to have been administered by wise men. By this type of legislation, I maintain, as sick bodies which are past cure can be kept up by repeated medical treatments, so these evils, too, can be alleviated and made less acute. There is no hope, however, of a cure and a return to a healthy condition, as long as each individual is master of his own property. Nay, while you are intent upon the cure of one part, you make worse the malady of the other parts. Thus the healing of the one member reciprocally breeds the disease of the other, as long as nothing can be added to one as not to be taken away from another.